Lord, thank you for today and the life you've given us. And I pray that right now you would open our hearts and let us see your word, and that it would come into us and change us. And in your name we pray. Amen. She's coming back. So, okay, so we are going through a series about like the model of different types of things. Basically, the model of the model that God has in the Bible for different areas in our life. We talked about, you know, like for a church, what should the church look like? I can't remember the second one right now. But then, so there's church, and then right now we're looking at what does it mean to, I do remember, it was the church and leaders and a man, a woman, and now we're talking about what does it mean just basically to follow Christ. So last week we talked about, so we were going to say that, you know, we're going to do 3 weeks on what it means to follow Christ and what that kind of looks like. And there are three questions we were going to ask. First one that we kind of talked about last week was what kind of relationship it is. And then today we're going to look at what do we get in this relationship. And next week we'll look at what does that produce in us and what is that, what's the result of that. You're good. And then, so that's what we're looking at. And just kind of summarize last week, we were talking about how relationship with God is meant to be very intimate and personal and just intimate and personal, and very deep. So that kind of covers that. So I guess to kind of really get started then, a lot of times we look at like the model that, that we have for ourselves is one that kind of reduces God's model, and it's just like a little bit of it, and we see it as basically just being, we see like the expectation as being saved, or just to live like a good person, be a good person, and go to church and do the things we're supposed to do, and that's about it. But like we talked about last week, it's really incomplete, and it's just really surface, and it's really shallow. It's like if we looked at a car. And all we saw on the outside was the glass and the metal on the outside and the wheels, and we didn't know there was anything on the inside. There's a lot more inside a relationship with God than there is just the surface elements. So that's about what that is. Okay, so back to the question we're going to answer today is, what do we get from relationship with God? What's the benefit for us, and what's the purpose of it, I guess? That's what we're going to kind of look at today. And to start with, I want to say, just kind of make a statement, and I think probably we'll all agree with this, that in life, our goal is basically to be happy, right? Does anybody have a different goal in life, that does not include being happy? I don't think so. And I think that's just how we're wired. I think everybody is wired in some way to be happy. And it's going to look different for everyone, you know. Ways people try to pursue it, you might look at it and be like, okay, that doesn't seem like you could be happy doing that. They don't seem happy. But for them, that is their happiness. So we seek happiness, like a sense of security and purpose. And so there are three different things, but they're very connected and they kind of work together. So for happiness, it means kind of just a feeling of comfort and joy and stuff. So, and security, meaning feeling like things are going to be okay in the future. You look into the future, maybe even just the rest of the night or this week, just knowing that things are going to work out okay. Maybe that you're going to be able to handle whatever is coming up. And then purpose, it's kind of having a sense of worth in life, you know, and feeling like whatever it is you're doing is worthwhile, and that you're like, you're a worthwhile person in the world, and people care about you. And I guess I'm just going to kind of go through a list of things that people, how we tend to try to find, satisfy these different things. So let's say for happiness, you know, honestly, probably the biggest one is like relationships we have. So like family, friends, that's probably the biggest way we try to find our happiness in life. And I think it makes sense. Like that's how we're wired. I think it should be like that. You know, it makes sense that that's our biggest draw, but that is the reality, I think, is that we usually try to find it through one of the biggest ways through happiness. But there's also a lot of other ways, you know. It could be through eating or your hobbies that you have, or, you know, working out, or there's a lot of different things you could look for your happiness in. Drinking coffee. Although, but it makes you happy, right? It does kind of. And the reality is that a lot of these things do make us happy. It just doesn't make us completely happy, because we all know how good it feels to get up and have breakfast in the morning, you know, or have, you know, have a snack when you're hungry. Yeah, or that, or just being able to just kind of relax. Okay, you get a day off from school, you can just kind of hang out and do whatever you feel like. We feel happy when we're in a situation like that. And so, like, security, it kind of changes depending on where you are in life, but basically it's, I see it as just kind of feeling like things are going to be okay. So maybe when you're older, it's a sense of, you know, feeling like, okay, I have enough money in the bank to take care of myself. If something happens, it'll be all right. You know, I'm not going to, you know, it'll all be okay. So, and, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can try to find security, but, you know, I think you guys probably get that. And then purpose, it's just that sense of feeling like what you're doing isn't a waste of time, and like you're not a waste of time, but that your life is actually worth something. We might try to get that through, again, through relationships, or through, you know, what our parents think of us, or what our children, or if you have children, like how your children view you, if they love you, if you feel like they're fulfilling you in that way, or through school or work or, you know, hobbies, sports and stuff like that. So after that, talking about that is kind of pointless unless we ask then, you know, what is it for each of us? Where in each of our lives are we trying to find, like, this happiness and security and purpose in our life that isn't in God? So I guess, I don't know, take a minute maybe and think about that. It's like, who is it in your life, or what activity is it in your life that if you didn't have that, you would feel kind of empty, or you would feel like, you know, you'd feel like didn't know how you were going to make it through the next week. Or you'd feel worthless. And I think that whatever it is that answers those questions, I think that's what it is that we're trying to find our happiness and security and purpose in. And then I think, okay, and so then I basically want to contrast that with what do we get from God? And if you look through the Bible, and what God promises us is that He will make us happy, and He will give us security, and He'll give us purpose in ways that nothing else can. And He will completely satisfy us. And it's not just that I think normally we don't see that from God Himself. We just go to God to try to get things that will satisfy us. So, like, look at how you pray and how I pray. I mean, a lot of times how people in general pray, it's, you know, we ask Him for things, you know, help me or heal me or protect me or give me something, you know, we think will make us happy. And if you look at, like, the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus was praying to God, you know, that's not really what He asked for. He said, you know, He was talking to God and He said, you know, you're glorious and what do you want me to do? And what are, you know, I pray that your kingdom would come and lead me and guide me and give me what I need, not just what I want. So I think we look at how we pray, it kind of shows us that maybe we don't really look for God look to God to satisfy those things. We just want Him to give us things to satisfy those needs. So anyway, the big idea for today is that being a Christian really means that we have a relationship with God that completely satisfies us. And right now, that might sound crazy when you first hear it, I understand it does, but the reality is it's what God promises, and it's something that really only God can produce in us. Okay, so there's a verse I want to read in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3:18. And get there in just a second. It says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God." So he says, you know, we know that. You know, Jesus died for us. He died for us to forgive us of our sins. But then he says, he did that to bring us to God. To bring you to God. So the reason Jesus did those, you know, died for us, isn't just so that we could be forgiven. Just for that itself. And it's not just so that we could go to heaven just for that sake itself. It was so that we could be with God. I think the only way that makes sense is if that's what Jesus died, is so that we could be with God, then it only makes sense that we would see, that we should, you know, be satisfied in our relationship with God. And that's what God wants. He wants us to seek our happiness in Him and see our contentment in Him. So there's a verse we looked at last week. It was in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 through 23. We're going to go through it again, and we're actually going to look at it next week too. But what we're going to look at is how Paul actually felt this way. Because, you know, when we first think about, okay, we're just supposed to be completely happy and satisfied and secure and have a purpose in Christ and just in relationship with God and not in the other things in life, it does sound crazy. And I think until we see kind of like an example of it, it just sounds crazy. And even when we do see an example of it, it still sounds like, you know, how is that possible? And we'll talk about that. But at least, you know, we'll read this and then we'll see how what it looks like. So Philippians 1 verse 19 says, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and I hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will be sufficient. But will have sufficient courage, so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body." So I'm going to kind of go through it a little bit slower now. So look at verse 19. I'm just going to kind of read through it verse by verse, and we'll talk about it. I'm going to talk about it as we go. But Paul is saying, he's in prison right now, and he's writing this letter to this other church. But he's saying that his hope, I'll read verse 19 again, then we'll talk through it, so you know what I'm saying. It says, "For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance." He's talking about being in prison. He's saying, I know that, you know, through your prayers and through the hope of Christ and His Spirit in me, what's happening to me right now, me being in prison, isn't really, it's not that big of a deal. And normally if we tie our happiness and our purpose in life to our circumstances, then we don't really have a lot of control over it. It's just kind of whatever happens to us in life, that's going to determine whether we're happy or not, or whether we feel fulfilled. But Paul's saying, you know, I hope and I pray that, and I know that through your prayers, what's happening to me is actually going to turn out for my deliverance. So he's saying, what happened to you right now isn't really, my circumstances aren't really that important to me, because I know in the long run, it's not really going to matter. I'm going to be delivered in Christ. It says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. Saying, even though I'm in prison, I'm hoping that I have sufficient courage. And he knew that he would have sufficient courage. What he means by that is saying he's not going to be changed by whether he's in prison or not. But he's saying, you know, I hope. And then he says, so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. And this idea that, like, what he wanted was for Christ to be exalted and for Christ to be made so people could see how beautiful and amazing he really is. And if that's his focus, and he's saying, I mean, he's in prison, that's still his focus. So it's like, what matters to him is not his circumstances. He has something bigger that matters to him. And so it seems like the only way that's possible is if Christ was, you know, the most important thing to him. And, you know, Christ being glorified was the most important thing to him, not just his situation, what was happening to him for his happiness. And he says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So he's saying, if I die, that's a gain for me, because then I get to go be with Christ. And for us, usually that's like the ultimate, like, the ultimate end to our happiness is, because then we're dead, you know, and we don't have our life. And he's saying it's the opposite for him, because if he dies, that's when he's going to be the most happy, because then he's going to be with Christ. He says, for if I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. So he's saying, if I stay alive, which I really, he's saying, I realize it's better right now for me to stay alive, because it'll mean that more people will come to know about Christ. But he's saying, but if I could die, I would right now, because I would rather do that. He said, it's better by far. And the only way anyone would ever say that is if Christ was the most important thing to them. And he was so satisfied and so happy in Christ that nothing else, comparatively, nothing else really mattered. For me, that's actually, I can see somebody in somebody's life that was a reality. And it gives me, like, I've tasted a little bit of that before, and I've tasted some of it. But it's hard for me to say right now, I would truly rather die and know that I give up my family and my friends and everything else that I look for, you know, that I do in life that makes me happy, and know that, you know, and be able to say, you know, I'd rather give all that up right now than go be with God. And I think that's something that we have to kind of work through. And I think that as, you know, God changes us, we grow into that, and that becomes more part of our life and more of part of our goal. Okay, so a couple more verses I want to look at. I think it's like this idea that we think of, if we're going to follow Christ, we have to give things up. You know, we have to give up some of the things that normally would make us happy and that we would want to do. But the reality is that we are more satisfied through living in Christ than we are with other things. So Psalm 16, I'm going to read the first verse and then the last verse of it. It says, keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. That's the first verse. So he's saying, you know, we were talking about, like, security before. And what this is saying is, Lord, I'm looking to you for my safety. I want you to keep me safe. And you're the one that I really find, like, my refuge. Like, if I think about you know, when a tornado comes, what do? Run into a basement, right? Try to go to a basement or, like, a really strong building, because that'll keep us safe. This person's saying, it was King David, but he was saying, you know, he looks to God to keep him safe. I mean, because ultimately God is the one that decides what happens to each of us. And at the end of the chapter, end of chapter 16, it says, You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And I don't know, just it just seems like, okay, so the beginning he says, you have made known to me the path of life. And it's like, what he's saying is that he has seen that in Christ and in a relationship with God, that that's where the true life is, and that that's what we're truly made for. And so he's saying that's like the ultimate, the real path of life. Said, you've made that known to me. You've shown me that in you there's that true life. And you fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures in your right hand. This idea that, like, when he's with God, that's when he's the happiest. That's when he's, and he said, eternal joys and pleasures. So it's like, think of something else that we do to be happy. Like, okay, like drinking that coffee. Or drinking your pop, okay, or soccer, or whatever, you know? There's different things we do that make us happy. And they're really fun things. But let's say it's coffee. It's only enjoyable while you're doing it right then, right? As soon as the coffee's gone, it's like, well, the fun's over. Same with soccer. As soon as the game's over or done with practice, you're not doing it anymore, so, like, the fun of it is over. But what he says here is that it's, like, with eternal pleasures in our relationship with God. And it's like that happiness doesn't go away. It doesn't end when we're done with that activity. And then in the next chapter, in verse 5, it says, wait, I don't think I had the right verse in 5. 15, I'm sorry. It says, "And I in righteousness will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness." This is another, it was like another prayer of David, and that was how he ended it, was saying, you know, when I see your face, and when I awake, I see your likeness, and he's satisfied in that. And it's like when we are with God, we, you know, he says, by seeing your likeness. And I think there's different ways, like as we go through life, there's things that happen, there's things that we see, and it's like, it's kind of God showing himself to us. And it's kind of different for everyone, but there's different ways that God kind of shows his power in a kind of a little pictures of himself, just in the beauty of the world and different things like that. And when we see those, it's like we're satisfied with seeing Christ, and we're satisfied with him. When we wake up in the morning, what we want is we want to see God. Anyway, okay, so that about sums it up. And I think, I don't know, it's just this idea that that's why we're alive, is to be fulfilled in that way. And that's the only way we're truly fulfilled and happy is in that relationship with God. And I would say even to the extent that if you want to follow Christ, it's not like optional, like saying, you know, I want to follow Christ, but I don't really think I'm going to find all my happiness in him like that. It's kind of either, and that's like a key part of being with any relationship with God. There's a verse in Jeremiah. Let me read real quick in a second when I find it. It's one of those books in the middle that's a little harder to find. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. Okay, it says, "Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have exchanged my glory for worthless idols. Be appalled at this, O heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug for their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." So he's saying, you know, do people ever, well, first thing he says is, has a nation ever changed their gods? You know, do they ever take, you know, a true God and turn away from it and go to another God? And what he's saying is, you know, not really. He's saying, but my people have done that. They've changed my glory for other worthless gods. And he says, and it's like, my people have committed two sins. They've, and it's like an example of what we do. What he's saying the Israelites had done, and also what we do, is he's saying, they left me. I'm like a you know, a bubbling, you know, spring of water, cold water coming out of the ground. And it's clear and it's delicious. It's just like pure water straight out of the ground. And he says, and they've left that, and instead they've gone and they tried digging up cisterns. And a cistern is just like this little depression that you dig, and rainwater goes into it, and it sits there. And then at least you have water, so you're not dying, right? Even though it's just muddy rainwater. But what he says is they're broken cisterns, and they don't even hold any water. So it's like there's this spring of water, and that's God. And it's got cold, delicious water coming out of the ground, and it's clear and it's good. Instead, we walk away from that, and we just go lick the ground. We lick the dry dirt because it's another place that doesn't hold any water. And that's what we do. Like, whenever we, in our life, we try to find our happiness and our satisfaction in something other than God, that's what we're doing. Because God tells us, you know, I'm the bread of life. I'm the water. I'm eternal water. And there's true life in Him. And we know that. And I think we feel that at times. And then we leave that and we try to find something else to satisfy us. And what he says in the middle there, he says, "Be appalled at this, O heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord." So today it's like, this is really bad. This is a big deal. The heavens and the heavens should be just appalled and shudder at horror what's happening because it's so horrible. And I think, so I don't know. I mean, if when we do that, when we see that in ourselves, that like we say, you know, I want to follow Christ and be His child, but then we don't look for our happiness and joy in Him, and we don't care for that, we should be worried, man. We see that in our lives, it should kind of scare us a little bit. Because it's a sign that we don't really want Christ. We just want good things that He says will come to us. We just want Him for the other things, like not having to go to hell, which is a nice thing, but it doesn't even compare to the true life we can have in Him and how great that is. So here's the application. The goal of it then is to find your happiness in God. And the first step of that is making a decision to follow Christ. If you haven't done that yet, then you're not going to find your happiness in God because you don't have a relationship with Him. You're not His child. In Acts 2, it talks about, you know, it says, how do we do that? People ask, how do we actually do that? He says, repent from the life you used to live, and be baptized, and let God make you new. So it's kind of the first step. Without really having that relationship with Him, we can't hope to be satisfied in Him like that. And the next thing is, like, when problems come up in life, and there's, you know, maybe God takes something away, or something is difficult in life, and we don't feel happy, and we feel like, you know, there's, you know, why am I not happy about something? Think about it differently. Maybe God is using this to show you that you are trying to find your happiness in something else, something that can be taken away, or something that can change, a circumstance that can change. And that happiness you're seeking, we can only find in Him. So maybe be thankful when things happen that are hard in life, and say, you know, Lord, thank you for showing me that I wasn't looking for you. I wasn't looking for my happiness in you. I was looking forward to something else. And then kind of switch and try to find your joy in God. So there's that verse we read. It said, you know, I wake up in the morning. In the morning when I wake, I want to see you, and I want to see your likeness. Think about the idea of just wanting Him more than we want anything else. When we wake up in the morning, that's the first thing we think about is wanting to be with Christ, and just having that closeness with Him. You know, I think how we do that is when we don't feel happy, it's talking to God and letting Him be our happiness. And when we don't feel something's going wrong, we don't know how we're going to deal with it, let God be our security. And let Him, and just have it starts with like the intimate relationship we talked about last week, but we are close with God. And through that, it becomes a satisfying relationship where we go to Him to satisfy our needs instead of going somewhere else that can't satisfy our needs. So I guess where are each of you guys at? Is it you need to start a relationship with God, or do you need to say, Lord, I have a relationship with you and I really want to make this real, and I don't want you to satisfy me in ways that I never thought you could before. So that's about it. I'll pray, then we'll go back and have communion. And even that, that's like just a opportunity to remember Christ and remember the fact that he died for us. And then he's, you know, remembering that he died for us so that we could go be with God. And we could, right now, we could be with God and we could have a closeness with him. Okay. Dear Lord, thank you for tonight. And I pray that in each of our hearts you would change us and give us a love for you and a satisfying joy in you that we can't really make on our own. I pray you give us like an aching in our heart and like an emptiness, and that you would show us that that's an emptiness that only you can fill. And so in your name we pray. Amen.